Let's pray this morning. Father, we thank you for your supply of grace today. We look up to you because we know you have already moved ahead. We give you praise. We stand in agreement this morning. You said you are not alone, but I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. We thank you because you are here today. Your word says, wherever two or three of us are gathered in your name, there you are present in the midst of us. We believe you are here, and we give you the glory for it. I pray, oh God, that eyes will be opened. I pray that ears will be opened to hear the voice of God. I pray that hearts will be opened to understand the ways of God this morning. Lord, I pray that you will speak to us. Teach us and let us walk with you. We give you praise in the name of Jesus. Amen. Open your Bibles with me to the book of Colossians chapter 1. Yesterday I took a little bit of time to lay a foundation so we can go from there and really understand what God is saying. Colossians chapter 1, verse number 26. I love the writings of Paul because Paul was a man of great understanding. He understood the message of Jesus Christ. He did a lot. I love the way he writes and, you know, his understanding of the gospel. Verse 26, even the mystery which had been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God will make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. I'll repeat that again. Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect or mature in Christ. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and go put it together with that. Let's see what the Lord is doing here. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. Verse 7. Or verse 6. Paul says, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. What is Paul saying in Colossians chapter 1? You know, from the beginning, God was working with prophets, great men of God, like Noah, like Abel, like Moses, Elijah, Elisha, John the Baptist, a lot of them. God worked with them. But Paul is saying something here very important to us. Paul said there was a mystery, there was something that God had in mind for his people. But it was hidden throughout the generations, throughout the ages. Even though God was working with these great men of God, working with these prophets, using them mightily to bring forth the message of God, the revelation of God, but there was something that had been hid from them for ages and generations. And God kept it for a special time, for a particular time. And Paul is saying, what is this mystery? Because actually mystery is something that is hidden until you are initiated, until you become part of something, you can't understand the mystery in it. So until you become one of them, you can't know what is taking place on the inside. So Paul said there was something that God had been keeping hid from the generations past. Even though he was working with Elijah and Elisha and Moses and Joshua in a mighty way, but he was not working with them the way he really wanted to, in his fullness. Because you know, at times the power of God will come upon them and they will do mighty things. Once in a while they will have an experience with the Spirit of God and they will do mighty things. They will bring forth the Word of God to the people. But the intention of God was to dwell in man and use man mightily. God didn't want to come upon man and just move upon him as an instrument. See, God don't want to use you just as an instrument. You are more than an instrument to God. God wants to dwell in you, fellowship with you, and move through you. It's a sad thing for to be just an instrument in the hands of God. There are a lot of people that have gone through this world and do great things for God, but they were just an instrument to Him. You see, I'm trying not to preach because that's not my assignment, but I want to say some things. It's a sad thing for a man to be used just as an instrument in the hands of God. That's why you hear scriptures like, "Depart from me, I knew you not." Even though you did great things, because you were used as an instrument. Can you drive your car somewhere and when you get out of the car, you say, "Thank you"? You can't do it because the car is just an instrument to you. God owes no praise to a man who is used like that. But a man that would develop a relationship with God, a fellowship and love Him, not serve Him for benefits, but love Him for who He is more than an instrument in the hands of God. That's what God is looking for. A man to relate with. A man that He can share His heart with. You think God is in heaven and when we talk about, oh, God sent down something from heaven, we look at God so far removed from us. So it's a hard thing for us to believe God because we know God is far in heaven and we're on earth, we are so far away, apart. But it's not true. That's what I told you yesterday, the intention of God was for you to come to an end on the cross, for you to die. Put an end to you so Christ can live through you. Because the cross, that's why you see people who have achieved greatly on earth, they make they build a statue, a monument for them. And whenever you go, like you go to Washington D.C., I went there, and you see great monuments of great people that were, great leaders and founders of this country. And it's wonderful to see those things because a lot of history comes back to you. But for a child of God, we don't have such monuments. Our only monument, which is not a fixed monument, but it should be a living monument in each and every one of our hearts, is the cross of Calvary. It should be a living monument to remind you daily that your life came to an end on the hill of Calvary. You see, Christianity is not trying to imitate Christ. Because you will never be able to. Some of you have tried it and you've seen the result. You always fall short. Christianity is for you to die and Christ to live through you. Only one man can live the Christian life, and it's Jesus Christ. And He wants to live it through you and me. The title of my teaching this morning is Christ in You. If you will understand it, that Christ really lives in me. Think about it for a moment. Christ in you. That's what Paul is saying. That this mystery was hid from ages. Elijah didn't know it. Elisha didn't experience that. The kind of experience they had was the power of God coming upon them and moving them. They didn't have Christ living in them. But what mighty things they did. So if you, a man, will truly understand what it means for Christ to live in you, there is no telling what He can do for God. As I'm talking this morning, just open your heart. Because God is moving. You see, God doesn't just move at the end of the service. The Bible says while Jesus was teaching, the power of God was present to heal. While he was teaching, while Peter yet spake, the Holy Ghost fell. While he was speaking, not at the end. You see, we have limited God in a lot of ritualistic ways. We have structured our services and made God walk like that. While he yet spake, he was still talking. And people were filled with the Holy Ghost. The Pharisees sat there listening to Jesus teaching, and they were listening to criticize. But there were four men who understood the power of his words, because his words are not just words. Oh, that's why I challenge you to really give yourself to the Word of God. If you would do it, you will become what it says. If you believe this Bible and do what it says, you will become what it said about you. If it says you are healed, sickness won't be your problem. I know a story of a woman who sat in church, and the preacher was preaching, talking about what Christ has done for us. She was sitting in a wheelchair. She'd been there for 21 years. While the preacher was still preaching, it dawned on her that Christ really did this for me. And I've been sitting here all my life. She got up. No prayer. You don't know what has happened to you. You see, that's why sin is not our problem. We spend all our lives trying to get people to stop sinning. If you understand the gospel, you won't even look at sin. Because there's so much in the gospel. Paul said, oh, what the depth of both the wisdom and knowledge of God. It is past finding out. It is so much for you to benefit. You won't be wasting your time with sin. No man needs to preach you get out of sin. It's a waste of time for you. They preach it, it's good for them to preach it. But it's a waste of time for you to be living in sin. Wasting your time. Christ in you, the hope of glory. You see, they crucified Jesus. They thought they were putting an end to him. The Bible says the princes of this world knew it not because it was hidden wisdom. If they knew what would have happened after he's crucified, they would not have done it. They didn't know it. If they knew that Christ would live in you after he's crucified, they would not have done it. Because the impact is disastrous to his kingdom. If you understand it. I may be talking like this. You think I'm just talking. I'm just going. Maybe he's just talking things. There's this girl. I'm saying this for your purpose. So you should believe it. I'm not saying it for me. There's this girl that came once. I was walking somewhere back home as a counselor. She came to the office. She was crying. Weeping. And I said, what is it? She couldn't even tell me. She was a Christian. What is it? And she said, I'd never heard this before. She said, I'm sick. I have HIV. And then suddenly, faith rose up in my heart. I didn't plan to do that. I asked her a question. That turned everything around. I said, is that why you're crying? Because she was counting her days, Pastor. The moment I said that, she wiped clean the eyes and said, why are you saying that? I said, are you saved? She said, yes. Are you born again? She said, yes. I said, do you know what it means to be born again? She said, yes. I said, you're sure? She said, yes. Is Christ living in you? She said, yes. Is HIV bigger than Christ? She sat quiet. I said, I'm not going to pray for you. I'm going to give you a few scriptures. To go meditate so you can believe the word of God. Just go see what the Bible says about your condition. And they will pray afterwards. She went home, read those scriptures over and over and over and over. I was just waiting for her. I went to see that she's reached to a point where we can pray together. She came one day running to me and said, my birthday is coming and I want a gift from God. I said, what is it you want from God? She said, I want to be healed on my birthday. Immediately I knew, Pastor, that faith has been built in her. I said, I'm going to pray with you. You know, I was a little bit nervous through all of this. I was scared that if it don't happen. So I put myself on the safe side. I said, okay, we're going to fast. I'm going to fast with you for 3 days. And I was trying to be very spiritual here so I don't make a mistake and blow up everything. I said, I'm going to fast with you for 3 days. We fasted every day. I said, just be praying. I'll be praying for 3 days. And on the third day, we'll meet together and pray. On the third day, we met together. I said, let's just sing a few songs and thank God. We did and we agreed. She went and did the test. The next day, she called me. And she was screaming on the phone. I said, what is it? She said, I've done the test. I said, yes, so what? She said, and I have the result. And it's negative. You see, it is not what we did. If you understand this gospel is the power of God. All what you need from God, whatever amount of power you need, is in the gospel, in itself. If a man will understand it, I'm telling you, this world will be scared of him. I told my dad one time, you know how Africa is, you know, village, witchcraft, all of that. So my dad was saying, oh, you know, these people in the village do this and do that and do that. And they were hindering a lot of things. So I got angry in my spirit. I said, my dad he was not saved before. He just got saved recently. You know, I actually preached to him. He got saved. So now he's asked me a lot of things. I said, let me tell you something. I said, you guys stop bothering about these people. Because the day I walk into that village, that man will carry his pot and run away. Why did I say that? My dad said, are you sure of what you're saying? I said, you know why I said that? I said, because greater is He that is in me. I said, He will look at my face and run away with all His witchcraft. Run away because I'll kill Him. I'll just say a word, He will drop dead. I'm telling you the truth, that's the gospel. I'm saying all of this for you to know what has happened to you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Let's read Ephesians chapter 4. Hallelujah. Verse 11 says, and He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. For what? Why did He do that? What is the reason? Verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints. For the perfecting of the saints. For the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. What is Paul saying? God has given to the body the offices of the apostle, the prophet, the pastors, the teachers. Why? To perfect the saints. To grow up the saints. To make them grow up to maturity. To get them stronger and grounded. Paul said that you may be rooted and built up, established in the faith. That is God's purpose. You be rooted, built up, and established in the faith. Not that you get saved for a long time and you remain the same. Only seeking. You see, we've made prayer asking from God. That's all we know about prayer, asking. Prayer is not just really asking for things from God. That is part of it. But prayer is fellowshipping with God. You must not ask something from Him all the time. It is like each time you're praying, you're asking something. Prayer is fellowship and building a relationship with God so that you begin to understand things that He has not even told you about. Just being with Him. You know what He's going to do next. And then you have an issue, you just know that God will do it. Because you are with Him every day. That is the reason for prayer. Because as you open your spirit to Him in prayer, there's an infusion of power to you daily, daily, daily. And your life is going from glory to glory to glory. Fear would depart from you permanently. Look at Jesus. How can a man be that fearless? You say, oh, Jesus was God. No, 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 no. That's not the reason why He did what He did. He was God, all right. But that's not the reason He did what He did. Because Jesus understood something. Let me tell you what. Let's read what He said. John chapter 14, verse 10. Listen to what Jesus said. He said, "Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, He doeth the works." You know what Jesus understood? He was conscious and aware that the Father was in Him. That was His power. He said, "The Father that dwells in me, He does the works." So whatever you see I do is the Father in me doing it. He was aware that the Father was living in him. So wherever he goes to, the Father is with him. Whatever he is doing, the Father is doing it. So the day you become aware that Christ is in you in that same dimension, wherever you go, you know Christ is there. You're going with him. Whenever you face a situation, you know Christ will perform, will manifest himself. That was his secret. The Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. He was aware of it. He was. That was the difference. That is why they could be in a boat and the waves and the winds are everywhere. The disciples are scared, they are nervous. "Master, don't you care that we perish?" And he said, "Why are you so fearful? Why?" And he stood up and said, "Peace. Be still." And they looked at him and said, "What manner of man is this? That even the waves and the winds obey him. What manner of man is that?" They can say that about you. "What manner of man is this?" Because Christ has taken hold of you mightily. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Filled with power. Filled with wisdom. Filled with holiness. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 30 says, Christ has become my life, my righteousness, is my wisdom. You see, I'm not trying to be holy. I walk in His holiness. It's not a struggle to be holy. I'm not trying to live a holy life. I live it in Christ. Because His holiness is available in me. His wisdom is working in me. Paul said, He that worketh effectually in Peter to make him an apostle of the circumcision, the same is mighty in me toward the Gentiles. What is he saying? He understood that there was a mighty working going on in him. Paul knew that something was working in him daily. There was a working happening in him to make him effective to the Gentiles. You have to be conscious of that. That there is something in you working daily. It is working. While you are sitting here, right, it is working in you. The power of God is working in you right now. You can lay hands on the sick and they'll be healed instantly. Because it is working. It is working. He worketh effectually. He's at work in me. As I'm talking to you, He's at work in me. Because I'm aware of Christ in me. You see, Renee is dead. And Christ is alive. With His wisdom. He's alive with His anointing. He's alive with His power in me. He's alive with all His glory. Here. He's alive in His fullness. Christ in me, the hope of glory. If you can't walk, the only hope you have of ever walking again is Christ in you. If you're blind, the only hope of ever seeing is Christ in you. If your body has been covered by sickness, the only hope of permanent health is Christ in you. Because if He will manifest Himself, in a man, the power of sin will be broken. If Christ will manifest Himself in your body, sickness will disappear. If Christ will be manifested in your mind, wisdom will arise. There's this story about this man, I heard it from a preacher. He gave a story while he was preaching. He said there was this man who had a house, and every night he went to sleep, the devil would come in, fight with him and wound him. So he gave his life to Christ. The first night after he did that, the devil came in, fought him, wounded him. Got up in the morning and said, God, I thought after I gave my life, all these problems would come to an end. God said, no. You gave me one room and I'm in it. The devil didn't come to that room. He said, what do you mean? God said, the room you gave me, I spent the night and the devil didn't come there. So I could take two rooms. The next night, the devil came, fought with him, wounded him. He got up in the morning, God, I gave you two rooms. And you still allow the devil to come in. God said, the house is not my own. The two rooms I had, he didn't come there. The man said, okay, I'll give you one more room. The next night, the devil came, fought with him, wounded him. He was so mad at God. So I've given you three rooms and you still let the devil come in and wound me. God said, the house is not my own. The man said, okay, I'll give you the whole house. And the next night, the man slept so well. Then in the morning, God, did you see the devil? Did he come around? God said, no, I stopped him at the gate because the house is now mine. I'm telling you, you can be born again in your spirit, like I said yesterday, but your mind is not aligned with the word of God. You have not renewed your mind. The devil will control your life through your mind. You have not cultured your emotions with the word of God and fellowship. He will rule you through your emotions. And your body will follow suit. So what you do, give him your whole life. Give him your mind. Give him your emotions. Give him your body. And the devil will be stopped at the gate. He won't come around. He will try, but it won't be possible. Because he's a new owner of the house. I'm saying, I know a lot of people are hurting. People go through a lot of things. I'm not making light of that at all. I'm not. Believe me. What I'm doing is I'm just giving you the truth of the gospel. And let God minister to you. I'm not trying to make light of your situation. But let the Spirit of God, if you open your heart to Him, let Him minister to you. The way He sees fit. Because you may be wondering, now, He's saying all of that. Look at what I'm going through. I'm not making light of that at all. For the Spirit of God will work in you if you let Him. Christ in you, the hope of glory. If you meet somebody who is sick, preach the gospel to him. Because the gospel is the package of God's power. Everything is in it. Preach the gospel. And ask them, are you born again? They say yes. And you are in this condition. They say yes. If the Spirit of Him, Romans chapter 8, verse 11, that raised up Christ from the dead, dwells in you, the same Spirit shall vitalize your body, shall give strength, shall quicken your mortal body by His Spirit that dwells in you. No wonder the Bible said Paul was preaching and this lame man was sitting looking at him. Paul realized that the man had faith to be healed while he was listening to the gospel. And Paul said, rise up. And the man stood up immediately. The gospel is super powerful. That's why I challenge you to read the Bible. Meditate on the Word of God. Give yourself to it. You will become what it says. You will. You won't just have knowledge. You will become what it says. I told you about John the other night. John knew the gospel. He said in 1 John chapter 5 verse 13. I write unto you that you may know that you have eternal life. That you may know it. In other words, he was writing to Christians. But he said, I'm writing to you that you may know. And this is somebody who has this kind of testimony. I told you the other day, John was so powerful. They tried to kill him. They could not. They tried to drown him in hot oil. They actually did. And he did not die. Nothing happened to him. It didn't burn him. Was it magic? No. He knew he had eternal life. He knew what it means to have eternal life working in you. He knew it. Because that is the life of God Himself at work in a human being. It is the resurrection life that is at work in you. That life has overcome death. And that life is in you. It's the same life that Jesus rose up with from the grave and ascended to heaven with. That same life is in you and me. How come you live the way you live? We died with Him. We rose with Him. And we ascended with Him. Let me talk about that a little bit. We ascended with him. The Bible says we are seated with him in heavenly places. I don't care if you feel so much on earth. Scripture says you are seated in heavenly places. Not you are going to be. You are presently. It's a present state and condition. Right now, looking at me, you are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And Ephesians chapter 1 says, he is lifted far above all principality and power, might and dominion, and every name that is named in this world and in the world to come. He is above it. And then you are in him. He's above it and you are in him. Think about it. He's above all of that. Every power and force in this world, he has been lifted above it, and then you are in him. The devil is not your problem. He's not. He's not that powerful. He can attack you, attacks all the time. He don't give up, but he will attack your ignorance. That's why he don't want you to have knowledge, to have understanding, because if you do, you become a threat to him. You are above him in Christ. You believe that? You're looking at me, you're wondering, what is he saying? You are above him in Christ. Already. If you are fighting any warfare with the devil, you are fighting as a winner already. You are fighting to maintain. You are not fighting to overcome him. You have overcome him in Christ. Christ has done everything. In Christ, I'm above the enemy. More than conquerors. If he's overcoming my life, I let him do it. He didn't do it because he's powerful more than me. Because I'm in Christ. And Christ is in me. You better believe it. Because until you understand it, you will never live a successful Christian life. I'm telling you. It will be impossible. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion. Those are strong forces of darkness. But you have been lifted above it, above all of them, in Christ Jesus. Colossians chapter 1, Paul said, he had delivered us from the power of darkness. You see, he didn't say he had delivered us from darkness, from the power of darkness. So if I go through darkness, which is possible on earth, you will go through darkness. But there's no power in it to overcome you. Because the power has been taken out. David understood it. He said, though I go through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. I fear no evil. He knew it. He had a vision of the Christ. I fear no evil. You see, the power of darkness has been taken out. He has delivered us from the power of it. Darkness don't have power to overcome us. We may go through circumstances and situations, but in all of them, we triumph in Christ. And we have changed kingdoms. We have been translated into the kingdom of His Son. I'm not in the kingdom of darkness. He has no authority over me. I'm in another kingdom with a new king. And He has rulership over my life. And He's the most powerful. Telling you, believe it, it will work for you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's read John chapter 1 verse 16. Powerful, powerful portion of scripture. Powerful. I'll read from verse 15. John said, John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I speak. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. Verse 16, it says, and of his fullness, listen to that, of his fullness we have all received. It's hard to take it in. He said, he didn't say, we are trying to receive His fullness. He said, of His fullness, we have all received grace and for grace. In other words, grace and more grace. We have received all of His fullness. All of His understanding is in us. All of His wisdom is in us. All of His power is in you. Because we have received all His fullness. We didn't receive Him in part. We received His fullness. Lord, help us. Open our minds, open our hearts to understand. Of His fullness. All of who He is. In His fullness. We have received. We have received. So you're looking at me, you have received Christ in His fullness. All of His power is in you. The only problem you have is how that power is going to manifest. That's all. Not no new power coming from heaven. It's good to say that. It's not wrong to say that. I'm not saying it's wrong to say power coming from heaven. Heaven, you know, you can say that. But you have His fullness in you. All of His anointing. That's why the rivers can flow out of your belly, not out of heaven. Because you have Him in His fullness. In you. Awake unto it. Awake unto that reality. And let Christ manifest Himself in you. He cannot if you don't awake to it. You'll be limited in you. You can have Christ in you and suffer throughout your life under the hands of the enemy. Because you are still asleep to that truth. It's a lady that was in an airplane in Nigeria, traveling to Lagos, the capital. While they were going to about to land, the plane was in trouble. Turbulence everywhere. The pilot said, well, the weather is bad. Let's go back to the other city. And on their way back, the pilot announced, can you imagine you're in an airplane and you hear this announcement? Well, the amount of fuel we have in this airplane is not going to be able to take us back, so we're in trouble. You can't land, you can't go back. But you're in the air. Everybody started shouting. You know, Jesus will be called 5,000 times in 1 minute. Everybody is saved at that time. Jesus, Jesus, everywhere in the plane. And there was this girl who was saved. She was a solid believer. I actually heard her say that. I heard her testimony. She said, she started praying in the Holy Ghost. She didn't. At that time, you don't care who is around you. There's no. You are not shy, even if you were before. Started praying in the Holy Ghost aloud. She said she prayed so loud because she's trying to drown the voices of fear. She prayed so loud. Faith was rising as she was praying. Faith was rising as she was praying in the Holy Ghost. Faith was rising, time was dying. And faith was rising, time was dying. And then, there was so much faith in her heart. She remembered the story of Jesus and the disciples in the boat. She said, I have Christ in me. This can't happen. If I let it happen, I'm a failure. I'm telling you, her testimony. She said, this plane, you're not going to crash. Because Christ is in it. As long as I'm in here, I'm a blessing to all these people. I can't let them die because I'm in this airplane. It cannot happen because I'm here and Christ is in me. She said that aloud. A few minutes after, the pilot said, the air is clear. We can land. And everybody was hugging her in the plane. So, oh, thank God for you. So, somebody said, made a statement, said, I'm sure you didn't realize that you were a pastor. You didn't realize that you were saying all of that. And then there was a girl that they were traveling together. The girl said, this one, because they were actually going for a working, a business meeting. Hey, this one, she's a pastor. She didn't do that by surprise. She knew what she was doing. And then they asked her, what ministry? What church are you in? You know, they like to ask your church, what church do you go to? And she told them. Can you imagine what glory God is going to get out of that? She said, it's not the church. God delivered us. Hallelujah. That is what it means to be a Christian. You have control over circumstances. He that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. You may not see him, but he's more real than the person you're sitting with. I'm telling you, you may not be able to see him with your optical eyes, but he's so real. So real to us. So real. Lack of faith won't let you see him. Unbelief has blinded our eyes. We cannot perceive him. Adam never saw God, but he walked with God daily in the garden because his spirit was pure. He could detect where God was in the garden by his spirit. That's how pure he was in fellowship. Whenever God came, he knew God was coming. Because after he sinned, even though he had sinned, but his spirit had not been, he had not been too corrupt, he still knew when God was coming. But we are so blinded, we can't even perceive his presence. He's more real to you than the person you see with your physical eyes. If you will see him in your spirit, you will love him more. And if you love him more, he'll manifest himself more in you. What we need is to know him as a person, personally. Know him and have a personal relationship with him in that way. Nothing will be impossible with you. Are you hearing me? Let's read this again. 1 John chapter 4 verse 4. If you can take note of the scriptures and meditate on them, it will help you greatly, tremendously. 1 John chapter 4 verse 4. The apostle said, you are of God, little children. You hear that? He said, you are of God. You hail from him. You belong to him. And you have overcome the world. Did he say you are going to overcome? Did he say try to overcome the world? He said you have overcome the world. You see, when you read the Bible, take note of the tenses. It's not a mistake. He said you have overcome. So if I read that, what do? I live as an overcomer. I decide to walk daily as an overcomer. Because the Bible has said, I am. You see, I believe the Bible more than my circumstances. So if it says, I am an overcomer, that is who I am. It doesn't matter what the circumstances are. For we walk by faith, not by sight, not by what we see or perceive with the physical senses. You are more than a conqueror. You are an overcomer. You have overcome the world. Why? Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So you have overcome the world in him. Christ said, fear not, little children, for I have overcome the world. The world cannot trouble you. You have overcome it. in Christ Jesus. Because I said yesterday, you can never have any experience apart from Christ Jesus, a Christian. Never. Any experience you will have is a discovery of what He has already done. Your eyes just open to it afresh, but He did it already. Whatever you're going to experience in your life as a Christian is just a discovery of what He did already. Because He has done everything. It is done. The world will be confused with you. I'm telling you the truth. No wonder Jesus said, or Paul said, as the wind bloweth and listeth, and no man knoweth where it is coming from or where it is going, so are they who are born of the Spirit. The world will not understand you. Even church people will not. They'll think you're crazy because you have believed the gospel. You become too much for them to handle. And if you're walking, wherever you're walking, you're a blessing to that office if you don't know it. See, they're struggling to decide they're going to employ you. They're missing out on their blessing. Because wherever you enter, Christ has come. And things have changed suddenly. If you know it. You are not an ordinary human being. I'm telling you the truth. You are not. You are. I'm not saying you are God. You are not an ordinary human being. Because Christ is in you. You are more than an ordinary human being. You are more than that. You better see yourself like that. And the results will follow. You better do. John said in John chapter 1 verse 12. He said, we are born not of the flesh. Not of blood. Nor of the will of man. You see this birth? Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. Nicodemus was an elder of the Jews. In today's world, he would have been a doctor of theology. Superior knowledge in the religion of Israel. And history says he was 70 years old. An old, respected figure in the whole nation. He looked at this young boy of 30 years old and saw the things that he was doing. And the truth is that all the Pharisees knew that Jesus was from God. They knew it. You know how I know that? Nicodemus said, Master, we know. He didn't say, I know. He said, we know that you are from God. Pride will not let them accept him. But he said, we know it. For no man do what the things that you do except God be with him. That's all he said. Know what Jesus responded? I say to you the truth. Except a man be born again. But that's the beginning of power. That's the beginning of a different life. It's a whole new world. So except a man be born again, he cannot perceive the kingdom of God. It is hidden to him. He's blind to it. I don't care how religiously upright he is. How morally perfect he is. If he's not born again, he can't perceive it. It's hidden to him. This old scholar, a rabbi, of the Jews, a man of 70 years old, he has a whole career of respect and honor and dignity. Jesus said to him, except you be born again, you are lost in darkness. And listen to his foolishness. That's the folly of the world's wisdom. He said, how can I be born again, an old man like me? Am I going to enter into my mother's womb and be born anew? Jesus was sorry. So how can you, a teacher of the Jews, not understand these simple things that I tell you? Jesus called it earthly things. Because there is not being born again in heaven. Born again is on earth. So Jesus said, if you don't understand these earthly things, What are you going to do if I tell you of heavenly things? If I tell you about the glories in heaven, how are you going to understand it? And you are a teacher of the Jews. What are you teaching? Religion. How to conform to men's structure. That's what you're teaching. The simplest spiritual reality, you are blind to it. And you're a religious teacher. We have a lot of them in. Now go to a Christian university. A lot of the professors are like that. PhD in theology. They teach religion, not the gospel. Don't fear those who have doctorate in divinity. That's a big word. Doctor of ministry. Some of them are just religious teachers. That's all they know. No revelation of reality. What they teach you is knowledge. That's all. They don't have a touch with Jesus. Some of them do though, but most of them are like that. Nicodemus, you must be born again. And Jesus was saying this. You have to enter. Jesus said, except a man be born of water and spirit, he cannot see the kingdom. What is he saying? There must be a natural birth and a spiritual birth. You must enter into the matrix in the spirit anew. In the same way a man is born from the womb of a mother, that's how you enter into the realm of the spirit and be born again in a new realm. You are born in a new realm altogether. It is not a religious conformity. You are born anew. You're a new creature. You think you just love God, you just changed your mind and started loving God. It didn't happen like that. You are a new creature. The day you gave a life to Christ, old things passed away. Even if you still think old things and experience old things have passed away. The Bible said that. If you let them happen in your mind, it's you. But God said that passed away. I don't care who you were before you got saved. It don't count. For God respect no man's person. The Bible said that. He has no respect for your personality. All things passed away. You became a brand new creature the day you accepted Christ. Where you came from, notwithstanding, your past is gone, disappeared. Because you are taken from one realm into another. A new experience completely. So if you think the same thoughts, it's up to you. Because you haven't renewed your mind yet with the Word of God and fellowship with the Spirit of God. Born anew. And Christ has become your life. You are not trying to live for Christ. Christ is your life. That may be slim, but I'll repeat that again. I'm not trying to live for Christ. Christ is my life. Say that one more time. I'm not trying to live for Him. He has become my life. So Rene doesn't exist. If I'm walking, it's Christ in me. Because Rene can never live that life and please God. It's impossible. Only Christ can live it. And He is my life. Paul said, if ye be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ now sits at the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth. For you are dead. You are dead. You are dead and your life is now hid with Christ in God. Therefore, when Christ who is your life shall appear, then you shall also appear with Him in glory. See, it is always together with Christ, died together with Him, buried with Him, raised with Him, seated with Him in heavenly places. Wherever Christ is, there I am. He prayed to the Father in John chapter 17. That is actually the Lord's Prayer. Because the other one, He told the disciples how to pray. It was not His prayer. John chapter 17 is the Lord's Prayer. He said, Father, the glory which you have given me, I've given to them. Oh, listen to that. The glory which you gave me, I have given it to them. Let me read it. Maybe you think I'm just making it up. John chapter 17. Listen to that. Verse 8, he said, "For I have given unto them the words which thou givest," speaking about the disciples, "and you. And they have received them, and have known surely that I came from them. And they have believed that thou didst send me." Where is that? I lost my place. Let me just read from verse 1, we'll get there. "This word spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father," listen to the Lord's prayer. He's praying to his Father. This, like, few hours before, this was his death. This prayer is very important because it is filled with truths. Listen to the prayer. Just listen to it. "This word spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh." He has power over all flesh. If Muhammad lived in flesh, he has power over him. If Buddha lived in the flesh, Jesus has power over him. If Krishna lived in the flesh, Jesus has power. Power over all flesh. And he should give, that he should give eternal life to whomsoever he, you know, that has given him. As the, and this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus whom thou hast sent. That's it. I don't have time to expound all of that. "I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto them, which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine the word, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou gavest me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee. And they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them." I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine. And I'm glorified in them. How powerful. "And now I'm no more in the world." See, Jesus is speaking prophetically. He was still in the world. He said, "But I'm no more in the world. But these are in the world, and I'm come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition," talking about Judas, "that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilling themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world had hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from evil. They are not of the world, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I've sent them." You have to realize how the Father sent Jesus, how he came. In the same way he has sent you into the world, you are equipped to go into the world. "And for their sake I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through their truth. Neither pray I for this alone, but I pray," he's praying now for you. He prayed for the apostles, now he's praying for you. He said, "I pray, neither pray I for this alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through them. That they also, or they all may be one as thou, Father, are in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. That the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou givest me, I have given them." That's what I was talking about. The glory that the Father gave to Jesus, he has given it to you. Where have you kept it? You see, he didn't pray, this was not the apostles, it was for you. Those who will believe in him through the words of the apostles. He said, "The glory which thou gavest me, I've given it to them. Where is the glory? It's in you. What are you doing with it? Think about what Jesus did with the glory that the Father gave him. He has given the same glory to you. That they may be one as we are one. I in them, and thou in me. That, oh my goodness. Jesus is in us. The Father is in Jesus. I don't know how you want to see yourself. Jesus is in you, and the Father is in Jesus. I didn't say it, the Bible said it, we just read it. I in them, and thou in me. I'm not going to say anything further because you may take it for my words, but just read it. I am in them and you are in me. O righteous Father, the world had not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me, and I have declared unto them thy name, and I will declare it, that the love wherewith thou lovest me may be in them, and I in them. What are you doing with the glory of Jesus that he has given you? It is in you. It is nowhere else in the world but in the believer. Christ is in you, the hope of glory. Your prayer is not that, oh God, heal my leg, oh Lord, heal my leg. Your prayer is this: Lord, manifest yourself in my leg. It's not, Lord, heal my heart. Lord, manifest yourself in my heart. Because if he will, sickness will flee. Because he is in you, all that needs to happen is for him to be manifested. Lord, manifest yourself in that area where I have sickness, where there is trouble. Manifest yourself, and the world will know that the Father sent him. You see, it is his joy for him to be manifested through you, because the world will truly know that he was sent of the Father. So I want you to stand this morning, and your prayer is going to be this. If you are sick and you want Jesus to heal you now, I'm not talking about believing tomorrow. I mean now. The Lord, manifest yourself in whatever area you need him. Let him manifest himself. He's here. He's in you. He is with you, and he's in you. It's just too much for us to contain. He is present here, and he's in you. What more do you need? I'm with you and will be in you. Manifest yourself, Lord. Pray to him. If you're serious, it's going to happen. Tell him. If it's in your finances, Lord, manifest yourself. In your business, Lord, manifest yourself. In your family, Lord, manifest yourself. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The only hope you have to see things changed is because of Christ in you. This mystery that was hid from ages and generations now has been made known, revealed, made manifest to his saints. And this mystery is Christ in you, the hope of glory. I'll let you talk to him. Manifest yourself, oh God. Pray to him. It's an opportunity to let the Lord touch you. Manifest yourself, Lord. And let your name be glorified. In every area of weakness, Lord, show up yourself. Every area of failure in my life, Lord, manifest yourself. Wherever I'm struggling, manifest yourself, oh God. Let him be Lord over everything, over every area, in your mind, in your emotions, in your will, in your body. Let him be Lord. And the waves and the wind will be still before him. Father, we thank you today. We give you praise. We give you glory. Lord, I agree with whoever is needing help from you this morning. In whatever area, Lord, that they need your help, Lord, I agree with them today. And I declare that in the name of Jesus, so be it according to your word. Lord, of those who seek healing, oh God, in the name of Jesus, let them receive the healing. For there's a supply of your spirit in this place. Whoever needs health, Lord, in the name of Jesus, so be it. In the name, I bind every devil of infirmity and sickness. I bind you right now and lose your grip. And let Jesus be Lord. And I declare that they are healed. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, this morning. We give you praise. We give you praise. We give you glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you want me to agree with you, if you are sick, just come. Let me agree with you. It's not a mighty prayer. Just agree with you. If you are sick, you want the Lord to heal you now. I'll just agree with you briefly.